there is no one like our God. There's people have tried, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, the devil. Nobody's like our God. One thing we have to hold on to, the one thing that never moves and never changes is our God. And in a day and an age of such turmoil and upheaval that is broadcast so rapidly, that's what we have to hold on to. So no matter what you're looking at today, no matter what you're thinking about, I want you to remember, God never changes. He said in Romans 8:38, you are more than a conqueror. That means super conqueror. Those of you who like the Superman analogy, that's you. It's what God said you are. It's what He describes you as. And when you think about all the great things, you know, Superman, he could leap tall buildings in a single bound. He's bulletproof, faster than a speeding bullet. And yet all these things, we are greater than that. And whatever we're facing. So I challenge you today, grab hold of that, hold on to that, and don't let anybody take it away from you and say, you don't deserve this. You deserve everything. We're going to talk about some things here today, but you deserve it. Yeah, you're also deserving of hell, if we understand that part correctly. But now, we have accepted His grace. Jesus is our Lord, and we are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, therefore making us sons and daughters of God. I hope you're getting hold of that part of it. He's your daddy. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, that You are our God. There is none like You, Heavenly Father, though many have tried and many have failed. Father, today we present to You today our tithes and our offerings. Press down, shake it together, Lord God. May it overtake those who obey You. Father, we present it to You as holy and as sacrificial in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Buzzing, isn't it? Yeah, our projector may shut down here in a minute. Getting a little warm. As a matter of fact, I hate to do it, but Jesse, turn these fans on. It is about actually 15 degrees warmer right here than it is right here. All the heat is hanging up there. So if you're cold, it will get warm. I promise you. Hallelujah. Let me get this adjusted. I actually do like using this thing, but I hate when it rubs my collar or gets hung on things. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been a marvelous, marvelous week. It's a great day to be alive, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I just can think of the options and seeing how I have quite a few years to go, I think I'll just keep trucking no matter what comes. You know, this week I ended up taking a couple involuntary days off between noon on Thursday and noon on Friday. I slept almost 21 hours. Feeling better. Thank you. But you know, there's been some times in times past, people use things religiously, and we don't understand the word, is what it boils down to. I know preachers would, and preachers, and there's men, you know what, listen, if you're one of those guys that I go to work sick, you take the chance of killing somebody and live with that on your conscience. When I get sick, I get delirious. You don't want me operating heavy equipment. You don't want me driving. And so I chose to take my NyQuil. My wife prayed, I took my NyQuil, and I went to sleep. There's people today telling you to kind of be ridiculous about things. Well, we got to prepare for the end times, brother. Jesus pretty much told us not to. The reason I don't believe we need to prepare a whole lot, I believe we're going to see things. I just don't believe we're going to have to go through all this stuff. And whatever we do have to go through as believers, He'll provide. So we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to stress about, well, how am I, you know, I don't have, 6 months worth of food provisions. What's 6 months worth of food going to do for you? I mean, really? You know, we started putting some stuff on shelves, you know, getting some, buying a few extra cans of green beans and stuff for two reasons. One, well, if something happened and we weren't able to get out, you know, unlike, you know, I know Friday night everybody was expecting 1978 all over again. You know, as a kid, that was fabulous, except I wasn't allowed to go outside and play in it. Of course, I was literally knee-high to a grasshopper, and my mom was afraid I'd get lost in the snow. I got out one time. It was amazing. But you know, back in 1978, we didn't have enough snow plows. We didn't have enough equipment to clear. How many people did you actually know who had four-wheel drive trucks back then? They were more of a luxury, and usually only farmers, or we'll call roughnecks, people like me, would have them, right? Rednecks. Well, today, even BMW makes four-wheel drives. I wouldn't take one off-road, but mind you, everybody's got one. How many, just show of hands, how many have a four-wheel drive? There's a lot of hands in here that went up. They become more affordable, and it's kind of become the thing. But people worry so much about this stuff that they throw themselves into sickness, you know, ulcers. A few of you have had those. Indigestion, whatever. But what this boils down to, folks, is we are trying to live in a spirit of fear. Go ahead and open your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy. Or as you were, 2 Timothy 1:7. Is it going to come up, Jess? Oh, there it is. Okay. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now that word, the fear in this particular scripture, is not referencing phobos. Or phobias, okay? It's not addressing your spirit of fear of spiders, the dark, clowns, whatever. The water, heights. It's talking about a timidity. And this is in this particular scripture, in its context, Paul is talking to Timothy, a young man who is now set as a pastor over a church. He is now in my position, except he's in a position to where he's coming out of thousands of years of hierarchy where just because he knew something didn't mean he was right. If somebody was older than him said that it was wrong, it was wrong. And Paul even admonished Timothy not to correct the elders. I disagree with Paul. Okay, I'll just tell you flat up. Being in this position, I've been told many times by people who are older than me, what's a young whippersnapper like you telling me? Well, let's see. I've got my head screwed on straight. My kids aren't going to hell. Got a few more things we can throw at you, but we just won't. But people have pulled that card on me. I really don't care. Gray hair don't mean you're smarter. Does it? Not one bit. Got a few now, and I'm no smarter than I was before. I still do stupid things. And I know plenty of people who turned gray when they were in their mid-20s. So Paul is telling Timothy not to let this spirit of timidity overtake him. But let's run with not only the timidity, but let's run with our definition of fear. What are you afraid of? There are things that make us all uncomfortable, right? I'll even have to admit to that. I sit and tout, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, that's because I don't vocalize the things that come up. I don't focus on them. Growing up, I developed a fear of the dark, thanks to one vampire movie. Later on in my life, I watched that movie from beginning to end. I'm not saying you need to do this to face your fears. Sometimes maybe you do. I quit running in the dark. One of the things that we all know, if you've been up at that time, one thing I learned that was true after joining the Marines is the darkest part of the night isn't even night. It's just before that sun comes up. No moon, no sun. It is black. And I remember being on guard duty in the woods of North Carolina, walking around with an empty rifle, by the way. We called it fire watch. We were just looking for fires. And I had to walk back and forth and back and forth. So mind-numbingly mundane. But I remember all of a sudden it got so dark I couldn't hardly see the tents that I was standing in front of. And the temperature even went down a little. Now for me, that was kind of a big deal. Okay? We had bears there. We had snakes that had teeth. Gators. You know, we had those things. And I had an empty rifle. Yeah, sure, they'd showed me how to butt stroke and forward slash and all that other stuff with it. Wasn't going to do me no good against a gator. Wasn't going to do me no good against a bear. And everything in me, I felt that spirit trying to rise up again to reclaim what I had tried to overcome. And I refused to panic. Because isn't that what you do when you fear something? You panic. You don't care what, you make a hole through the wall, whatever it is, you're getting out of there. I had a lot at stake here, folks. I'm a U.S. Marine. I'm not supposed to be afraid of anything, let alone the dark. You know the dark can't hurt you. Nothing can hurt. The dark doesn't hurt you. It's things in the dark. People used to ask my dad, he was a lineman. He'd climb these towers and he'd ride the cable cars between them. And somebody said, "Aren't you afraid of heights?" He said, "No, the heights don't bother me." He said, "It's that sudden stop if you fall. That's what I'm afraid of." See, we focus on the wrong things. Now, I'm not going to lie, when you get up here, some people get real dizzy. Over the last couple of years, I've actually started mellowing out on climbing high. But I've told you all the story about being on top of this house that was right next to the pond. I mean, within 10 feet of it. And everything in me, and the guide already said I could go swimming. And I just wanted to drop my tool belt on that roof and take off running. It had only been about 30 feet. 30, maybe 40. Not that far. It was going to hurt regardless. If not wearing work boots, wet work boots, I might seriously have considered it. But, see, that never bothered me. But fear of the dark did. I like to say that speaking in front of people was something hard for me. It really wasn't. I had to get used to it, yeah. We all have to get used to certain things. Even we got people up here that were, this was not part of their dreams ever, to be up in front of people singing and playing instruments. But yet they've done it, and they've overcome that fear. And I'm sure there's days they have to get up here and they have to overcome the urge to just take off running to the door. But they overcome it. And I decided to get over the fear of the dark because, well, first off, my pride. I'm not about to let these other Marines know I'm afraid of the dark. There's a lot of things you can live down, but that's not one of them. And so I continued to do that. And then I get to Okinawa. And, you know, we got guard duty. I got put on guard duty, and fortunately, I did not draw the armory. Because, see, our armory during Vietnam, because they're long concrete warehouses, had served as the morgue. I don't care if it's just a mouse running, a roach running across the floor down the end of that building. You hear it. And guys have come screaming out of there because they let their minds overtake and their imaginations get the best of them. They didn't live it down. But God did not give us that spirit. He didn't say live in fear. He's telling Paul to tell Timothy, he said, listen, I didn't give you that spirit. I didn't make you timid. I watched a video the other day, you know, of a mama deer. She's just out there with her tiny little baby. I mean, this thing had to have been like a day old. It was real little. I mean, the cat was almost as big as it. It's out in this woman's front yard. And, you know, we all look at deer and, oh, they're just so beautiful and graceful and timid, right? You know, except unless they want to run in front of your car. But this mama deer, she's standing there trying to help her baby up. It's in a suburban area. And baby goes over onto the sidewalk across the road, and suddenly it just drops flat. It drops down flat as could be. Mama turns around, and she starts trotting, and the camera follows over, and there's this Australian shepherd that had decided to get a little nosy. Wasn't growling or anything. But Mama raised up, and she started kicking it. And the dog didn't have enough sense to run, and so the mama just kept whooping on this dog, and this woman on the camera screaming at the deer. And I'm thinking, lady, first off, you would do the exact same thing, I'd hope, that if somebody was threatening your baby, that you'd rise up and fight. But see, this deer, people didn't expect this deer to come out fighting. Deer are not timid creatures. They're creatures of habit. That's why they run out in front of you. I do not believe they have great daytime vision. If they did, they'd be able to tell, I'm not a tree. Right? But they have excellent nighttime vision. I believe the reason why they get hit more at night, because we mess up their nighttime vision. Somebody flashes you in your brights, how long does it take for your eyes to recover now? And in my opinion, deer have an idea of where they want to go, and they're going to go there. It may take them another hour. They may loop back around and come back, but they want to cross. You may be the third car that's scared them off, and they say, oh, forget it. And they just run out in front of you. I don't know. I'm not a deer. By the way, the mama went after the cat. The cat decided, the cat thought, oh, hey, I'm cool. He just kept walking up and kept following, and mama looked around. Boom. Yes. Well, Garfield got a taste of a mama. But you see, God did not give us that spirit of timidity. God didn't say, you have to be afraid of this or you have to be afraid of that. There's nothing on this planet God made us to be afraid of. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Animals were not afraid of men and men were not afraid of animals. Now, if you could put that into your head and understand, there was no fear of bears. I mean, people talk about it. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? Be able to walk up to a grizzly bear or a polar bear. I think a polar bear is about 13 feet standing up. That's big. That fear was not put in them until after the flood. Or a lion. None of this fear came about until after the flood. But you see, now we fear men. We're living in a day and age where evil is coming to the top. Pretty much the Bible told us it would. If people would get out of the romanticized version of the end times and understand evil is going to get evil. And we're going to see it more prevalent. I cannot tell you the number of things I don't eat, the number of headlines I just scroll over. I'm like, there is no way. Things are coming out. Things are coming up to the top. And the Bible always, and the Bible said, everything that was hidden will be made known. So if you're wondering about all these sexual misconduct allegations, everything hidden will be made known. But do we need to fear North Korea? Man, I can't imagine being on Hawaii yesterday. I'm like, I told Angela, I said, so where do you run? You're on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Run to a building, sure. They're probably aiming at a building. I think I'll just sit here in my chair and wait. More than likely, they were aiming at one of the military outposts. If they would have. But just like that, people on vacation, people on their honeymoon, you're like, oh dear Lord, we saved it, we scrimped and we scraped for this honeymoon to come to Hawaii and we're going to die. All because, listen, I'm telling you folks, you're going to find out, somebody needs to be fired and maybe thrown in jail. First off, did they? Good. That should never have been typed up. It should not be on a ready. It was that easy for somebody to hit send. It's that easy in the United States. Here, in mainland. Somebody's sitting there waiting to create panic. And I don't care what Ace Ventura says. If you want to listen to Ace Ventura, go ahead. Jim Carrey apparently had some words for the president. I'm sorry, after I heard a reporter call him Ace Ventura this morning, I was like, yeah, you can't take him serious. But folks, the people are stirring fear. Whoever did that, that is exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to invoke fear into our lives. We cannot be living our lives by fear. If we do, we won't go outside. Oh, don't you know it's cold, Pastor? Yeah, my furnace didn't shut off at all yesterday. I watched it drop down. It drank an eighth of a tank of fuel out of 275 gallons. That thing was kicking on about every 3 to 5 minutes. It was cold. well, don't you know? You know, you probably should have canceled church. People don't need to be out in this. People are going to be out in this regardless of whether I cancel church or not. You're going to go to work tomorrow and it's going to be cold then. Right? Why not come together and let's say, hey, let's stir up love, which stirs up our faith, so that when some job decides to send out a false alarm, or even if they ever do send out a live one, we aren't running around, oh, God, what do we do? We can start praying. Oh, incoming missile? All right, Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. You are the original creator of Star Wars. Take that thing out. You talk about heavenly warfare. But see, that's what the church does. Though the world does, period. We instantly freak out. There is absolutely nothing to fear but that fear itself. And God told us, he says, I didn't give it to you. I gave you a power of love and a sound mind. That word power is dunamis. It means the ability. You have been given the ability. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power, dunamis, the ability to be my witnesses. See, everybody in here, and again, we're going to go back to this timid thing real quick. I totally disagree with trying to train people to go out door to door, harangue people walking up and down the sidewalk, because I don't believe that's how God really wants us reaching out to people. If you have to be forced to do it, if you have to be forced, instead of saying, hey man, you know, God loves you. I don't know why you just, you look down, but I want you to know, I love you and God loves you. And you better be able to say you love him. But that's what he said, I will give you the power to be my witnesses. You don't have to sit through 8 hours of witnessing camp in order to go out and be a witness. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit, how can I be a witness? People will see it. They will know you are a Christian by your love. Not by you got the biggest cross around your neck, or you got the biggest Ithacus on the back of your car eating Darwin. None of that matters. As a matter of fact, most of that is borderline right out of pride. Well, yeah, this is my Bible. Got the great big old family King James. You know, the only reason I really liked them is because they had pretty cool pictures. They had, my Bible had these tiny little black and white things, and it's like, man, my grandma had that one, Jonah getting out of the fish. It was a giant catfish for you catfishers. But the one she'd never let us look at was Solomon going to split the baby. Oh, for crying out loud. And she lived her life in fear. When I joined the Marines, she wouldn't talk to my mom. She just about disowned her, like it was their decision. I was gone. God even took it out of my hands. He said, here, we're going to just play this. You're going to swear in without knowing it. Gotcha, God. I couldn't get out of that contract. But you see, God didn't give it to you. He gave you the ability through the Holy Spirit, through the power of His Holy Spirit. As I've told you before, the Holy Spirit didn't come to fill us, to make us goofballs. We do enough of that ourselves, right? He didn't do that. He came to give us power. And with power comes wisdom. Know how to use that power. Listen, you can have the best pulling truck out there. You can have 15,000 horsepower. But if you don't have the wisdom on how to put that to the ground and keep it under control, you're going to spin out every time. I always liked watching mud runs. down in North Carolina, it was real fun. There were several of them, mud bogs. There's lots of mud bogs down there. And this, all these guys come out there, great big trucks, jacked up, tractor tires on them, big blocks, blowers on them. It was fun. And they'd tear through these things, and those big, heavy trucks would just get out there and whoom. But Odom's Junkyard, they had lots of parts, but they figured something out. Heavy sinks. They had all Jeeps. Horsepower, big tires, and a light body. And man, they'd come flying through that mud bog every time. Wouldn't even slow down. It was like it wasn't even there. They all had the same stuff. Somebody just had a little, put their knowledge to work better. You can also take it, having a four-wheel drive doesn't mean you're not going to get stuck. Here's what I like is guys who won't put it in four-wheel drive, they wait until they're stuck. You do understand it so you don't get stuck, right? Why'd you put it in four-wheel drive? Because we were going to get stuck. The goal is not to get stuck. I like throwing mud with all four tires. I worked for a guy. He was a good guy. He just got it was a 92 Silverado Z71. This was in 94. Pretty truck. It was black, 350. He'd bring it out there on the job. And the rest of us, we had to go to the bathroom over at the edge of the woods. Well, he was the boss, so he got to get in his truck and go to the back edge of the field where nobody could mess with him. That's why he did it. But this day, he decided to go driving across the field in the spring, and he drove through a soft spot. Now, he didn't want to tear up his precious truck. And he thought he knew better than the rest of us. He just went right through that mud hole, moving about this fast. If you understand anything about mud, you need to clean the tires out quickly. We're like, give it some gas. It took two tractors to pull him out because he buried it. When I got into business, I had a two-wheel drive truck. I'd go on these job sites where they're running around with four-wheel drive equipment. And I remember one night, I backed up in on the other side of Kenton onto this job site to get my tools out, and the guys were making fun of me. You're not getting out of here. I said, watch me. I loaded all my tools onto that truck, put it in drive, and I nailed it. My headlights went to the sky, and out I came. But I only had two drive tires. I had to keep them clean. And I just slung all the mud out and got out of the hole. Which, by the way, they had to get the grate all towed out of there. That's how bad it was. Not saying I was better than them. I just wasn't afraid to give my truck some gas. See, fear on my friend's behalf kept him, because he didn't want to get mud on his truck. Turned out he got it all over it. Kept him from getting through the other side. Plus, he made some really big ruts in that farmer's field, which he had to fix. But God gave us the Spirit that is full of power. It's full of love and a sound mind. We do not need to be running around going from this doctrine to that doctrine to this doctrine. We need to be solid on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's all that really matters. I don't care if you speak in tongues or you don't speak in tongues. I don't care if you immerse or if you sprinkle. Really don't care. None of it means a hill of beans. Bible doesn't say you're saved because you got baptized. It doesn't say you're saved because you got filled with the Holy Spirit. It says you are saved because you have declared with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's it. All the rest of the stuff we do, it's for show. It's for us. Does it mean things? Yes. And we have to make sure that we're doing them for that reason. I know there's people that, particular denominations, you are not saved unless you've been baptized. Nowhere does it say that. So now we got people that are, I'm dying, but I've never been baptized. You don't need to be baptized. Just confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you will be saved. That is Scripture. That's not my conjecture. That's not my twisting. That is not from the first book of art. That is the actual Scripture. Now, it doesn't mean that we are easily swayed. Paul kept talking. How many times can you go in the New Testament and find where Paul said, who taught you this gospel? Who taught you this stuff? I kind of feel like it's kind of like God when Adam and Eve said, oh, but we were naked, and he said, who told you that? Who told you? You listened to somebody else besides me. The Word of God was never meant to be complicated. As a matter of fact, from what I've been told, it is written on a fifth grade reading level. But yet, one church denomination teaches that you're not smart enough to understand it. Only they are. So its followers do not read it. Because if they did, they would find out, we've been lied to. Many people don't want you to read the Word. I was in a group with a group of pastors one time, and the pastor was kind of holding a meeting. He said something, in my opinion, it was goofy. Don't agree with it whatsoever. I love the man, but what he said was goofy. And one of the other pastors, because what he actually taught is taught in Catholicism, and one of the other pastors said, would you please show me in Scripture where that is? Can't, because it's not. Just ignored the question and moved on. See, we teach things that we're comfortable with. There's a lot more things I'm more comfortable with than teaching the Word of God. But when the Word says what it says, I can't go say, well, you know, yeah, well, geez, yeah, you're going to hell. No, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, you will be saved. I do believe there's a difference between the bride of Christ and being saved. Just because you are saved does not mean you're the bride. One little thing that kind of popped up to me the other day was the parable Jesus was telling about the wedding supper. If you remember right in this, he's telling it where he came, the father prepared the wedding feast for his son. But all the guests he had invited, the Jews, would not come in. So he said to his servants, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. In other words, drag them in. They weren't part of the bride. The Bible talks about the bride. It even talks about pillars if you read the book of Revelation. It talks about pillars in there. They're a little bit different. There are people that have gone above and beyond. Yep, I got saved. I believe there's people you're going to see in heaven that you didn't expect to see. Some of them you're going to be glad to see. Then there's going to be people that you know said a prayer, but they walked away completely. Or they said a prayer every 6 months. But that's not for me to judge. That's all there is to that. That's not for me to judge. I'm not their judge. Because I thank God that he's more merciful and more gracious than I am. Because somebody, yeah, I don't know, I might have stoned myself. Who knows? All right, next scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Here, the word fear is phobos. It is your phobias. Afraid of the dark. Afraid of the water. Afraid of spiders. Afraid of women. Whatever it is. Paul's telling the Romans, you did not receive the spirit of bondage back to fear when you became saved. But he said, rather, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This word Abba is an Aramaic word. It literally means father. You cry out to Daddy. I know I've given it, shared before about one time when I was, I think I was 11 or 12, and we lived next to a guy who raised pit bulls, and he unfortunately fought them too, so he was abusing them. And one of them was in our trash. And I walked around to burn it and tried to scare it off. Well, the dog did a better job than I did. And he came after me. And I took off hollering. And the first thing I just cried out was, Daddy. And I come beat-feeting around that thing. Well, that dog had took off the other direction. I don't know what scared him so bad. I got a feeling I'd know what now. I think I cried out, Daddy, and my angel appeared. Because my dad was around the corner underneath the hood of his car, and he jumped up and, what? Because I never screamed. I mean, we were raised, you screamed, you better be dying. Anybody else relate with that? Well, we came around the corner and the dog was running across the field. See, that's the way God is. I wasn't afraid of that dog. I had no reason to be afraid of that dog. But that particular time when the dog came after me changed my mind a little bit. And I retreated hastily, crying out, Daddy. And this is what Paul was trying to tell the Romans. You've not been given that spirit to bind you back to fear. That's not what you've been given, but you've been given out the spirit of adoption. See, when our natural fathers fail, we all do, the Holy Spirit steps in as Father. Okay? Father God brings in that spirit, and we are adopted. We are made to feel, okay, you know what? You know, some of you may not have had a dad growing up. But what I'm here to tell you is you can by through the spirit of adoption. He will stick closer to you than you've ever known. And like I said before, I firmly believe that the reason that dog turned around had nothing to do with the fact I cried out for my daddy. It was because my Abba daddy stepped in. Because I'm pretty sure the dog could catch me. He got four legs, I only had two. Again, if we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You don't have to turn there, but it says, and you shall receive power. Power, folks. You will be my witnesses to the other ends. I'm paraphrasing this down now. To the utter ends of the world. In other words, folks, you don't have to worry about being a witness. You're going to be. Because God's going to give you the words to speak when you need them. That's one thing He's taught me immensely in this role in my life, is to trust Him. I'm not this smart. That little gift of the Holy Spirit that we've tried to turn into a manipulation. Take these off. He's not to be used as a sorcerer. And that's what we've done. We've tried to take the Holy Spirit and twist what the Holy Spirit's job is. We've talked before about the functioning of the Holy Spirit. We do pray. When we pray, that's the time. But we don't do it to get attention. We don't do it to show people how much better we are. If we're doing it for that reason, we've already failed. We've already missed the point. God's power is so much more, I'm just about to obliterate the English language. God's power is so much greater than the world's power. The Bible tells us greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. We do not need to fear the spirit of Antichrist. It's been here the whole time. It tried to kill Jesus. It's going to try to kill us. It will try to take away our rights. Does that mean that we stop voting, that we stop doing as we feel the Holy Spirit's leading? No. We continue on. We continue making those decisions. We continue reaching out. We continue to love even when we've been struck. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? I know just about every man in here, at least I can speak from my standpoint. You get slapped in the face, I don't want to hug you. Maybe with a Louisville Slugger I do, but no. And Jesus tells us that if you get slapped in the face, turn and give them the other cheek. I told her, I said, you know what? I don't care how many altercations and arguments we get in. Don't ever slap me. She did one time. One time. I was screwing around. We had just come home, and she was raising the garage door for me. I was going to pull the car in at her mom and dad's. She's in front of me, and I just start honking the horn. I was just feeling good, froggy, honking the horn. She looked up at me, and dead was the look. She let the door back down and walked in the house. I was like, crap, now I got to get out, open the door, get back in the car, park it. And I came in. And now, mind you, this she was very emotional. This is the first time she's been back home since I took her away. So the devil was playing on her emotions along with other timely things that were occurring at that month. And I got up there and I said, what'd you go do that for? She turned around. Pow! However, I was shocked, kind of like that dog with the deer. But she will tell you, and I never hit her, but she said, the look that came across your face said that was the last time I ever do that. I said, exactly. I do not take that well. So you can imagine Jesus telling a full-grown man that if somebody slaps you in the face, offer him the other cheek. Richard, you got to be one of the nicest guys I know. But something tells me that if somebody hauls off and slaps you up the side of your head, you ain't really going to be, hey, why don't you do this side? It doesn't sting right now. But that's what God said. It's hard for us to do that. I will tell you this. I have disciplined myself enough. I will offer you the other cheek. But make note, I only got two. You take another swing, I'm defending myself. God didn't say, stand there and take a beating. No, an insult is one thing. Trying to kill me is another. Huge difference. God did not give us the spirit of fear, period. Whether it be a phobia, whether it be just timidity, God did not give that to us. I want you to pay attention to the fact that it's the same spirit that conquered both. He gave us the spirit or the power through the spirit, and it was the same word, dunamis. It was dunamis. He gave us dunamis to overcome, which is the capability to overcome timidity and your phobias. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, phobias, I'm going to wrap up with this. Phobias are, they're such a touchy things with people because people like to use their phobia and call it wisdom. And they're not the same. Well, Pastor, you know you ought not be walking. I walk around in my house in the dark. You can ask her. She's like, turn a light on. Usually it's after I've stepped on something. She's got a black chair in the part of our bedroom that's the office area. And I come in there at dark. I know where my desk is. I know where everything over my area is, but this chair sits in front of my stuff. Cannot tell you how many times I've whacked my little toes. Darn near fell over the thing. And I can't yell at her because I could have turned the light on. So I've tried to make it a habit of making sure that I've got my hand on that chair now and go around it. I honestly prefer to do it because as time has wore on, my eyes do not respond quite as quick to light and dark. So I'll just stay in the dark. I walk around outside in the dark. Aren't you afraid of what's in the dark? No, I carry a gun. Nope, not afraid of nothing. I got out of the woods this year, walking down the road. It was dark. I had to feel my way down my tree stand. Felt my way through the woods. Got out on the road, started walking, and I hear the neighbor's dogs. I mean, I'm just 100 feet away from their driveway. I start hearing the neighbor's dogs barking like crazy. I'm like, oh, what the heck is that? And then a pack of coyotes lit up in the woods I was just in. That day forward, I started carrying my gun again. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be in there with them. Well, Pastor, that's fear. No, that's called wisdom. Two different things. Fear is not going back into woods. Wisdom is carrying my gun that I can shoot them with. Or at least scare them. I want them more afraid of me than I am of them. But to say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't, I understand you may not like heavy traffic in Columbus. I know a lot of people that don't like it. That's where my dad taught me how to drive. Yeah, there's people that just won't. I went to West Virginia with a couple and I had to drive the whole time. We were in West Virginia because they were intimidated by the bridge, for starters, crossing the river. And the mountains. Well, that didn't really bother me. And to be honest with you, I'd prefer to be in charge of the car. But there comes a point where you have to deal with your fear. We went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting in Washington, D.C. Shortly after I got out of the Marine Corps. We went down there for these meetings. We went up by ourselves, and while we were there, we were going to leave about an hour or so before anybody else, and we'd be back home in time for this lady to go back to work. So she asked if she could ride with us. Well, I still owe Pat for this. His name was Pat, too. I still owe him for this because when we got home, I told my wife, she's never riding in my car again. I know why he pawned her off on me. She was awful. Heavy traffic freaks her out. How many of you have driven in D.C.? Y'all in the back row, get your hand. It's nothing you sneeze at. I didn't want to be driving in it without her. Every 5 seconds, in the back seat, I was thinking, I'm about to give you a tranquilizer. Right here. Stop that! I just shut my mouth and prayed, Lord, help us get off of this road. We need to get off of I-95 now. And we were able to get down, and quickly, God moved us right through. I mean, that was the last time I ever took her. Why? I might have not had a sister in the Lord. I don't know that I would have hurt her. I definitely would have offended her. Wasn't that I was afraid of driving with her? Wisdom said, don't. If you're one of those people, stop it. The driver is hectic enough. He or she does not need you sucking the oxygen out of the car in the back seat. And no matter how many times you stomp on the floorboard, there's not a brake pedal. Go to sleep. This really will work for you. If you fly and you're afraid of flying. I know people say, Jesus, I'll go anywhere for you, but I ain't flying. You do know how long it takes to get there by boat, right? If that stuff bothers you, riding in the back seat of somebody else's car bothers you, go to sleep. At least you'll die in your sleep. I used to do that. I mean, she's a good driver, really. But I grew up in the mindset the husband did all the driving. Well, we're driving home from North Carolina one time, and first off, she wakes me up and says, "What's that sign say?" We're talking about the sign where the letters are this tall. I said, "It says you need to get your glasses." Then, and we're driving up 77 out of West Virginia. If you've been on there, you know what I'm talking about. It's curvy. 70 miles an hour, curvy. 70 miles an hour, ravines. Curvy. Dark. Winter. And I wake up. And she tells me, she says, "You know, I've been thinking." I believe it's 10 miles between toll stations. She says, "I've been doing something. I have been not taking my cruise off. I'm trying to see how far I can go without taking my cruise off." And she said, "You know what I got to thinking I'd like to do? Is wrap myself in bubble wrap, the car and everything, and not take it off at all. And hit the trucks. Push them off. Whatever we got to do. I don't want to take my cruise off." We changed drivers. Next available stop. "I think you're a little delirious, my love." But I had to come to trust her driving. She is a good driver. I just had to learn to trust it. And you know what I did? I went to sleep. I laid my head up against the window and said, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Yeah, they don't call them Dear Jesus handles for nothing. All right, let's stand. But of all things this year, folks, remember, God did not give you a spirit of fear. You do not need to worry about what's going on in government. Like I said, we can agree and disagree on things. Who cares about that? The man is our president. Let's pray for him. I don't like everything he says, but he's still the man who's there. We need to pray for him. He's the man God's going to use. Because I can promise you now, there's probably a really good chance there'd already be a missile on our way if we didn't have this president in place. Because as they pointed out this morning, Bill Clinton signed the deal. George W. didn't do anything to stop it. And Barack didn't do anything to stop it. This is the only president in all those years that stood up. And by the way, I know Pat pointed it out to me the other day, and then I was watching a thing on the Korean War the other day. For those of you that don't know, we're still at war. It was just a ceasefire. We've never signed a cessation of hostilities. We are still at war. So just so you know. Yeah. We're talking a long time now. This stuff has been boiling, and of course they're going to. I believe part of all this, listen folks, I'm telling you, I believe part of this has everything a bit to do. I don't think it's any mistake that Russia's involved, that China's involved, and that Israel is currently at the center of a lot of this controversy. I'm telling you, watch Israel. Watch what God does for Israel. There's a reason why we are being sidelined right now. God's going to show Israel who is God. He's going to show the rest of the world who is God. You can hold on to that, but I can promise you right now, as long as we don't live in fear, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry about your kids. You can't do anything. Leave them in God's hands. Don't worry about your job. You're not going to stop it anyhow. Trust God. Everybody loses their job, we'll all be in the same boat. We'll hunt squirrels and cats and yeah. If I'm hungry, y'all with cats, you better hide them. Pat, yours will be easy to catch. He's fattening them up. Lots of hot sauce. Yeah, he's had cat before. All right, let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that Father, you did not give us that spirit of fear, but you gave us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would rest on each and every person. Father, that this would get into their mind, Lord God, that they will be able to grab hold of this, Father, and when situations arise, they will not worry, but they will actually call upon the Holy Spirit to exercise the knowledge and wisdom that they have and that the Holy Spirit brings. Father, I thank you for these people today. Lord God, I thank you they ventured out in spite of the cold. I bless them, Father. I thank you that they came out, and pray, Lord, that you bless the rest of this day to them. Father, those that are working and those that are sick, Father, we pray that you bless them and touch them, heal them today in Jesus' name. Amen.